taking over this morning, just lift up your hands to heaven. Lift up your voice to heaven and begin to declare your expectation before the Lord. You are taking over in this service. God is changing your level. God is giving you a new story. God is changing your level. God is changing your level. Begin to declare your expectation this morning. Declare it. The Bible says that the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. Declare, let God hear you this morning. God, I am taking over. Lord, I'm changing level. Lord, my story is changing today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because a new me is coming alive. A new me is coming alive. A new me is coming alive. Lord, I give you all the praise. Lord, I give you all the glory. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for a new one, a new one of us we imagine this service today, and the name of the Lord shall be glorified. Let's also ask God that, God, because I know that the entrance of your word give light and gives understanding unto the simple, Lord, by your word today, give me understanding. Open my eyes, O Lord. Change my story by your word. Change my level by your word. All that I need to move to the next level in my life, Lord, deliver into my hands today. Pass me not by in this service, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise and we give you all the glory for what you will do in this service. Lord, I pray unto you that, Lord, divine, show yourself strong and mighty in our midst again this morning. We ask for your manifest presence. We ask for your visitation, O Lord. Lord, use me to reach your people today. None of me in this service, all of you, Jesus, take all the glory and let your people be blessed. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise, Lord. Blessed be your name, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's put hands together for Jesus as we take our seat in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, the Overcomer's Voice, for that powerful ministration. I pray that as we have received that word today, God will change our levels in the mighty name of Jesus. And this morning, I count it a great privilege again to stand before the people of God to bring the teaching for today unto us. And I want to appreciate God's servant, our Father in the house, for this great privilege this morning, which will never be abused. And I pray that the grace of God upon your ministry and upon your life will walk through me today, and the people of God shall be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. No one will go unblessed in this service. Everyone shall be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the living Jesus. Praise the Lord. And finally, on the covenant highways of life, and so am I in the name of Jesus Christ. As a way of reminding ourselves, the prophetic theme for the month of May is, I am redeemed, a wonder to my world. Let's say it together. I am redeemed, a wonder to my world. All of us will be a wonder to our world in the mighty name of Jesus. And this morning, we are going to be looking at the third part, the part three of our teaching series for this month, which is titled Unlocking the Supernatural. Unlocking the Supernatural, part three. As a way of introduction this morning, we need to understand that the supernatural is the manifestation of the word of God that we receive, the word of God that we believe, and the word of God that we obey. And when all these are in place, God confirms those words, making them to turn into signs and wonders. And that is why the book of John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. When we receive the word of God, when we believe the word of God, and we obey the word of God by acting on that word, God is committed to confirm whatever that word is able to carry. And that is why I'm very confident of it, that all through this month, Our stories shall be stories of signs and stories of wonders in the mighty name of Jesus. We need to also understand that the supernatural is simply a product of our obedience of faith. The supernatural is simply a product of our obedience of faith. We have a very good account in the book of John, chapter 2, verse 3 to 11. Jesus Christ went to a marriage with the mom. And when he was there, there was no more wine. The mother went to him, and the mother said, "It's time for you to do what you used to do at home." So he called all the servants that are around, and he said, "Whatever he told you to do, just make sure you do it." And Jesus Christ told them, "Just bring the pot to me and fill the pot with water." And for them to demonstrate that truly they are ready to obey to the full. He didn't ask them to fill the water pot to the brim, but they went ahead to fill the water pot to the brim. And not only that, even when the miracle happened, Jesus Christ did not ask them to taste that water. He just said, "Take from that water and go and give the water to the governor of the feast." Which I think to me, as a matter of fact, is a suicide mission. Because if you take water to a governor of a feast, like taking water to Trudeau as an example now, say, "Trudeau, I've converted this water to wine. Just drink it." What if Trudeau takes that water? Or the governor of the feast takes that water, and that water is not really wine. It is water indeed. What is going to happen to them? But these people did not analyze the situation. They did not look at whether it's possible or it's not possible. They believe what Jesus Christ told them. And by their singular act, the governor of that feast even confessed that, "For me, all I know is that when I go to a party, the best wine is always given at the beginning, because people that come early must drink the best thing. But why are you giving it at the end?" So, and that is the way it is when we as believers, we don't analyze whatever the word of God tells us to do. We just plug into that word. And when we plug into it, because of our obedience of faith, we see the supernatural. I pray every one of us, we experience the supernatural as we keep on obeying the word of God by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. However, we need to understand that the knowledge of who we are is what determines what we can do. The knowledge of who we are is what will determine what we can do. Until we know who we are in Christ, we become vulnerable to all life situations and circumstances. Until we know who we are in Christ, we become vulnerable to every life situation, to failure, to disappointment, to sicknesses, to pestilences. But when we know who we are in Christ, we are exempted from all those things. The only way by which we can know who we are is through the word of God. When we close the word of God, we close our destiny. When we close the word of God, we close the plan and the purpose of God for our lives. So my word to each and every one of us this morning, online, on ground, is that we must cultivate the habit of going through the word of God. Because the word of God is what carries our destiny. It carries everything that has to do with us. People's opinion does not matter when it comes to who you are. I want you to have that understanding. They may say you are barren. They may say you are sick. They may say you are poor. But what is the word of God saying concerning you? When you know what the word of God says concerning you, whatever anybody says will not even move you at all. The reason why you see people, when people talk about them and they begin to fight, they begin to want to defend themselves, is because they don't know what God says concerning them. When you know what God says concerning you, whatever anybody says, it doesn't really matter. And I like that from our father in the faith, Bishop David Oyedepo. There was a time I was listening to his message. He said one powerful message. He said, "You can say whatever you want to say about me. It's your opinion. That is not the opinion of God concerning me. I'm not moved." And we have never heard where Bishop Oyedepo will go to the maybe to the TV station and say, I want to divide myself because they say this and say that about me. Because he already knows what God said concerning. So people's opinion does not really matter to him. So as children of God, we need to ensure that we know who God calls us to be. When we have that knowledge, we are able to do the supernatural. We are able to do the impossible. And I pray that God will give us understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, and the vision of all is become unto you as the word of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read, I pray thee, and see it, I cannot, for it is sealed. That's the excuse many of us give. I cannot. I don't understand. When I read it, I don't understand what the word of God is saying. Take the step of opening the word. Take the step of reading the word. Take the step of meditating on the word. Take the step of studying the word. As God sees your heart that you want to know more about him through his word, God reveals himself to you more. He reveals all his plan, all his agenda concerning you. Praise the Lord. Psalm 82 verse 5 to 7 says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darknesses. All the foundation of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. None of us will fall in the mighty name of Jesus. When I was preparing for this message, God took me to Luke chapter 4 verse 17 to 21. When Jesus Christ entered into the temple, he had not started his ministry at that point in time, but he had to find what his purpose on the surface of the earth is. So when he entered into the synagogue, Bible said he took the book, and when he opened the book, what did he see? He saw that God has anointed him to be a healer. God has anointed him to be a deliverer. God has anointed him to be a preacher. And when he did this, Bible said he closed the book and he said, today, this book is fulfilled. If we don't open the book, there's nothing that can be fulfilled in our lives. If you don't open the word of God, if you are too lazy, we just want to enjoy life, we don't want to have time for the word of God, there is nothing that can be fulfilled in our lives. I pray that grace to keep to cultivate the habit of studying the word of God, going inside to know what God wants or God has for us, God will give unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Even when he asked Peter and the disciples, whom did the people say I am? They were telling him, some call you Jeremiah, some call you Isaiah. Because he already knew who he was, he said, I don't care. This is not what I am. But Holy Spirit revealed to Peter whom Jesus Christ was. And Jesus Christ said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. It's the only Spirit that revealed it to you. I pray that God will give us understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. If you don't know who you are, people will tell you who you are not, and you will fight. If you don't know who you are, people will tell you who you are not, and you will want to fight. I pray grace, wisdom, God will give unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. The question is, who are we? Who am I? Who are you? Say it to yourself, who am I? Hallelujah. This morning, we are going to look at a few points for us to have a clear understanding of who we are. Praise the Lord. Number one, the Bible makes us to understand that we are redeemed as heirs of God and a joint heir with Christ. We are redeemed as heirs of God and a joint heir with Christ. And I try to look at the definition. What do we mean by heir? And the definition I got from the dictionary is a heir is a descendant, a beneficiary, or a successor. So that means as a child of God, you are a successor of God. You are a descendant of God on this planet earth. And you are a beneficiary of every benefit in the kingdom because you belong to the kingdom. And a beneficiary is a person or entity that is legally designated to receive the benefit from someone's financial product. And I will explain it to us. For instance, Most of us, or all of us, we have insurance policy. An insurance policy, when we are putting the insurance policy in place, they will tell you who is going to be your beneficiary should in case something negative happened. And you put that person there. If anything happened in the future to the person that was insured, the beneficiary does not need to contribute into that premium, into that policy, before he begins to enjoy the benefit. The same thing with us. Jesus Christ has paid the price. He's no longer on the planet Earth. And because we are heirs of the kingdom, we are joint heirs with him. Every benefit that he purchased for us on the planet when he was here, we are entitled to them. We are entitled to them. We may say we are not qualified. We may say we are not contributed into it. Because we are joint heirs with Christ, because we are heirs of the kingdom, we are entitled to those benefits. Hallelujah. As God's servant, and we have heard from our resident pastor several times, he used to tell us that it is a double jeopardy for us to suffer what someone else has suffered for us. If Jesus Christ has suffered for your sickness and you are going through sickness, it's a double jeopardy. It's because you don't know your right. If you are financially down, Jesus Christ became poor that you may be rich. It's because you don't know your right. When you know your right, it won't be a double jeopardy for you. So I want you to have that understanding that you are joint heir with Christ. You are a beneficiary to every benefit in the kingdom as long as you walk with God. Not that you will be doing something conny, you will be doing something that is not good, and you think that you can benefit from the kingdom. No. But if you are walking righteously before God, I can assure you, every benefit of the kingdom is your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says, "And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So if we have suffered with him, every glorification, every honor that he goes through, Jesus Christ, every honor he goes through, you are entitled to that. So you have to, I want you to begin to paint the picture of who you are in Christ. When you understand it, no matter what anybody says about you, it's irrelevant. You won't even be bothered at all. Praise the Lord. The second thing we need to know is that the supernatural is our natural lifestyle in redemption. As a child of God, the supernatural is your natural right, natural place in the kingdom. The kind of life you should be living should be a life that is full of signs, full of wonders, full of miracles. People should be wondering what is happening to this person because you are a child of God. So we need to have this understanding, and it is the supernatural that validates or authenticates our redemption. If you say you are redeemed and you don't manifest the supernatural, then you need to go back to the drawing board and check. Something must have gone wrong somewhere. The supernatural is what authenticates or what validates our redemption in Christ. John chapter 3 verse 8 says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it come, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." My question to you today is, do you have the understanding that you are born of the Spirit? Do you understand that you are born of God? If you have that understanding, begin to manifest your sonship as the Son of God. Begin to manifest your sonship as the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18 says, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion." So your life should be a life of signs and wonder. And my prayer this morning is that every one of us, we will show forth the signs and wonders of God in the mighty name of Jesus. We need to also understand the third point, that we are redeemed to have dominion over death. We are redeemed to have dominion over death. We have said in John chapter 3 verse 8 that we read that we are born of the Spirit. And I've never heard of where they say spirit dies. Have you ever heard of where spirit die? So if you are born of the Spirit, you are spirit. So you have control. You have dominion over death. That it does not mean that when we have lived our old age, we will not go to God. But what we are saying is that you will determine how, when you want to go. That is what we are saying. It's not death that will say it is time for me to snatch you. It's not death that will say 5 o'clock I'm coming. You will be the one that will be deciding for death. That it's not yet my time. That is what we are saying, that you are redeemed to have dominion over death. Through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, and we've been brought into life and immortality. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10 says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light through the prophet. That is what Jesus Christ did. And if just Jesus Christ did that for us, then we are entitled to enjoy that benefit of having dominion over death. I pray, if there's anyone appointed unto death in this assembly today, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those appointments are forfeited in the mighty name of Jesus. No one shall die young in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone will fulfill their destiny. Everyone will fulfill God's purpose and plan for their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And Revelation chapter 1 verse 18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. That's our Father. He has the key of life and death. And every child has direct access to whatever the Father possesses. Do you agree with me? Every child has access. You have right to everything that the Father puts. So if God is saying, I have the key of life and death, that means that key is in your favor. And that is why I'm confident that no one will die young in this assembly in the mighty name of Jesus. We saw what happened to Paul in the book of Acts chapter 14, verse 19 to 20. They stoned Paul. They took him out of the city, thinking that he's dead. But what happened to Paul? They said, when they went to look at him, he said, I die not. I won't die. I mean, I have control over death. That is the level God has brought us to, because we are redeemed by God. They stoned him. They thought he's going to die. But when they went back to him, they said, Paul, he just rose up. He said, no, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. This work has not ended. This work has not ended. The same thing with us. We need to have that mentality that God has assignment for us. He has work that is given unto us. That is why we must make sure that we exercise our dominion over death as the redeemed of the Lord until we complete the assignment of God. We need to tell the devil, we need to tell death that I'm not going anywhere. I will fulfill God's plan and purpose for my life in the mighty name of Jesus. Then if you are saying that as the redeemed of the law, we are ordained to exercise the supernatural, to experience the supernatural, how do we then unlock the supernatural? We have heard last week, we talked about we can unlock the supernatural by our faith, by the word of God. Today, we are going to look at unlocking the supernatural by the power of the Holy Ghost. Unlocking the supernatural by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's take note that the Holy Ghost is the grand commander of the supernatural. Holy Ghost is the grand commander of the supernatural. He said in Joel chapter 2 verse 28 to 30, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaid, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And we saw what happened. The supernatural was made manifest in the life of Peter. When him and John were going into the temple, they met a man lame that could not walk at the beautiful gate. And by the manifestation of the supernatural in their ministry. After talking to that man, that we don't have anything, no. The only thing that we have for you is Jesus Christ. Because that name carries power. That name carries anointing. If we read the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 3 to 18 and verse 16. And in verse 16, Bible said, in that verse 16, Bible said that at his name, true faith is in his name, had made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Ye, the faith which is by him, had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. That was when they were challenged. That, how did you do it? Why should you do this? And they talked to them and they said, the name of Jesus Christ is what he that man. So we need to get that understanding that as the redeemed of the law, the Holy Ghost is the grand commander of the supernatural. Also, we saw what happened to Peter. They said when Peter walks in the city, the shadow of Peter was healing the sick. In the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. Because the Holy Ghost was manifesting in his ministry. You don't have to be present. We have heard so many testimonies in this commission, even through our father in faith, Bishop David Oyedepo, that I sent just my mantle to somebody. And I was not there. Just sending the mantle, they rubbed the face of the mad person. And what happened? That insanity vanished. That is what the Holy Spirit is able to do. Because he's the one that works the supernatural. So we need to have that understanding this morning that the Holy Ghost is the grand commander of the supernatural. We must also understand that we need to continue to desire an increase in our level of the anointing in order to command strange order of the supernatural. We need to ensure that we desire increase in our level of anointing in order for us to command strange order of the supernatural. And Ezekiel chapter 47 verse 1 to 5 gives us a very clear picture of the anointing. It was telling us there is a water. One was to the knee, one was to the ankle, one was to the knee, one was to the waist, and at the end of the day there was one that was just like rivers of water that swallowed up. So it's just telling us that the level of anointing varies, and the level you are in when it comes to the anointing will determine the level of the wonders that you can perform. If your anointing is to the knee, that is where your level will be. If your anointing is to the waist, that is the level at which you will manifest the supernatural. So we need to make sure that we desire increase in the anointing that we have. When we give birth to a child, and when the child is growing, we won't continue to be giving the child milk. We change level from giving the child milk to giving the child maybe something that is like a puri, then later we move to something that is solid. The same way, if you are the position of, I still want to be a baby Christian that is just being given milk, your anointing will only be to the ankle. And there's little that you can do with that anointing. So God is telling me to you today that position yourself for increase in the anointing of the Holy Ghost so that you can do the impossible. Praise the Lord. We need to also understand that our level of anointing is what determines our level of the command of the supernatural. John chapter 3 verse 34 says, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the spirit by measure unto men. So what the Bible is telling us is that we all have access to the anointing. There is no measure. It's not because our resident pastor is the resident pastor of Winners Chapel, Calgary. He has all the anointing. It's not because maybe the associate pastor is the associate pastor of the church. He has all the anointing. We have equal measure of the anointing. It now depends on you and I, how we are ready, how we are interested in taking that advantage, in ensuring that we take the anointing that God has given unto us. I pray that God will give us understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 11 verse 1 to 6 says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which you have heard and those things that you have seen, that by my name the blind receive their sight, by my name the lame walk, by my name the lepers are cleansed, and by my name the deaf ears, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So the anointing carries power to do the impossible. It carries power to do the supernatural. So we need to make sure that we increase in our level of anointing. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, and God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with Jesus Christ, and we are heirs. We are joint heirs with whom? With Jesus Christ. If God was with him to do the impossible, to do the supernatural, God is with you as you are sitting down, and you will do the supernatural in the mighty name of Jesus. We need to also understand that we command the supernatural by the word we speak, because our words are creative. The word we speak matters a lot. The word we speak matters a lot. We command the supernatural by those words. Words are powerful, and that is why the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if there's nothing inside of you, the mouth will speak empty. If there's nothing inside of you, when I say nothing inside of you, if there's no word of God inside of you, your mouth will speak nothing. Your mouth will speak nothing. And when your mouth is speaking nothing, angels of God are discharged to bring to pass to that nothing. I wonder a Christian that will say, oh, I'm dead. Ah, I'm going to die today. A child of God, don't forget what the word of God says. Let me look for it here so that we can understand. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5 to 6, he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say before the angels that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy force and destroy the works of thy hands? So when we speak, the angels of God are set in motion to act on those words. So that is why we need to ensure that we speak the right word. And the only right word we are expected to speak as a child of God is the word of God. When you are sick, the fact is there. You see it. Headache is there. We went to the doctor. They gave you the report that you have maybe high blood pressure. It's a fact. But the word of God says you are what? Healed. By his stripe, you are healed. And that is the word we need to be speaking to ourselves. When the doctor says you have this, just say, no, I don't have it. Because the word we speak has the capacity to command the supernatural. The more of the word of God we store in our heart, the more of the control we have over what we speak. The more of the word of God we have in our heart, the more of the control we have over what we speak out. And we see God demonstrating it to us, showing to us that the word that we speak is powerful. At creation in Genesis chapter 1, if you read from verse 1 to verse 3 and down to 27, everything God was creating, he was just saying, let there be. He was speaking and they were coming to pass. Let there be and they were coming to pass. That is how powerful the word of God is. So we need to have that understanding that the supernatural can be commanded by what we speak in our mouth. If we want to see success, speak success. If we want to speak blessing, speak blessing. If we want to speak greatness, speak greatness. Don't join them. God's servant has told us many times, you come into the church, we pray, we even kill the devil. But when you get outside, what you say nullifies the killing. Then the devil comes back again. Don't forget, the Bible says, when the spirit went out, he came back to check. He didn't see anybody. What did he do? He gathered seven. The devil that we beat in the church, by your speaking outside, the devil came up again. And he was going to come in multiple forces. So that is why whatever you speak, you will bind here. Ensure that your speaking out there correlates with what we already did here. If your speaking is contrary to what we speak here, Please, my brothers and sisters, be ready for what the devil is about to do. I pray that the devil will not have access to anyone's life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So today is our special monthly anointing service. And there are a few things that we need to know about the anointing. Number one, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the one that opens impossible doors. No man has the capacity to open any door for anyone. If somebody promises you that I'm going to do wonders for you, it's a lie. Man will fail. Holy Spirit will not fail. So the Holy Spirit is the one that opens the door of impossible doors. The impossible doors unto us. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1 to 3, Bible says, thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I am holding, to subdue nations before him, I will loose the loins of the kings, to open him the two-leaved gate, and the gate shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked place straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of the secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which calleth thee by thy name, I am the God of Israel. I am the God of winners. Say, God is my God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10 also tells us. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory shall come in. And it says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Holy Ghost has the capacity to open every impossible door, because there's no impossible door that can withstand God. There is no door that can stand before God. Every door that stands against you, I pray that God of heaven will cause them to give way in the mighty name of Jesus. By the anointing today, I see every impossible door opening for you on their own accord in the mighty name of Jesus. For example, we saw how doors open to the messianic mission of Jesus Christ on earth after he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 1 to 8, we can see it there. We also saw in the life of the apostles, when Jesus Christ left, these were people that were hiding because of fear. They were hiding from the Jews. But when the Holy Spirit came on them, the impossible doors began to open to them. If we read the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1 to 6, and verse 38 to 41, towards the end of in verse 6, the Bible says that now when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, that every man heard them speak in their own language. And in verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. Where did they get the power? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus, they obeyed. Don't forget what we said. We said, you need to receive, you need to believe, and you need to obey. Jesus Christ told them, don't go out. Tarry first in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. And by their singular obedience to what Jesus Christ told them, they received the power of the Holy Spirit and they started doing the wonders. So they moved from the level of 12 to the level of 120 and to the level of 3,120 to the level of 5,000 plus 3,000. God, at a point, they lost count because the Holy Spirit was at work in their ministry. Praise the living Jesus. It is not enough for us to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. We must be committed to also make sure that we grow in the anointing as the apostle did, so that we can grow in the power, so that we can increase in power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. And Acts chapter 2 Verse 1 to 4 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as one of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit of God gave them what? Utterance. They didn't know what to say, but the Spirit of God was the one giving them utterance. Even when they are saying the Spirit of God was there amplifying the air, saying, give your life to Jesus. So we need to allow the Spirit of God to be at work in us and to be at work in what God has committed into our hands, so that we can command that supernatural. I pray that God is going to give us understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. However, the fear of God is a covenant requirement for new anointing. Don't forget, the Holy Spirit is the anointing. Holy Spirit is the anointing. So if you want to experience new anointing, if you want to change level in the anointing, the fear of God must be in place. When the fear of God is absent, anointing dies. It dries up. Because when there's no fear of God, everything goes. If they say, change books, finance books in your office, you change it. If they say, tell lies, it's very easy to do. We need to position ourselves as Joseph. Joseph did not see Potiphar as the one that he should not offend. He said, how will I do this wicked thing to who? To God. Not to Potiphar. How will I do this wicked thing to God? So, when we position ourselves to say, God is the one I want to please in all my ways, then we are set to experience the supernatural. We are set to experience increase in the anointing of God upon our lives. I pray that the fear of God will be at the root of our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 23 says, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. The pouring of the spirit, the making known of the word of God, will only be for those that have the fear of God. Nobody will reveal his secret to someone who does not fear him. If you fear God, God will reveal his secret to you in the mighty name of Jesus. In addition, we need to also understand that next level anointing demands a test and a longing. There must be a desire. There must be a passion. There must be something searing in us that I want more anointing. If there's none, we'll be where we are. And we see it in our children that I said, when you give birth to a child, when the child is getting to the point of giving him maybe mashed potato or something, and you are giving the child milk, the child will rebel. Because he has the desire to, here I am now, I'm okay. I need to change the level. The same thing, we need to rebel in our spirit that we want more of God, more of the anointing of God. As we desire, then we receive the outpouring of the anointing. As we desire, we receive the outpouring of the anointing. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3 to 5 says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, my blessing upon thy offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourse. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the desperation in them. One will say, my surname is not Olayiwola. My surname is God. We need to get to that level where we say we are truly desperate. We are thirsty for God. God, satisfy me. God, quench my thirst for you. I want more of you. Moses was saying, God, show me that. I don't know why Moses would say that. God, show me your way. God, reveal yourself to me. With all that Moses went through, he already saw the ways of God. But he was a man that wants more of God. And he was saying, God, reveal yourself to me more. Show me more of you. That is the position you and I should be. That God, we want more of you. We are thirsty for you at every point in time. A man that is not thirsty for God will not see more of God. A man that is not hungry for God will not see more of God. So we need to make sure that we thirst for God. We are hungry to hear from God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lastly, we should all expect today that great and effectual door will be open to us as the anointing comes upon us. And we know the anointing destroys all barriers on all our paths in the mighty name of Jesus. Today is our special anointing service, and the word of God has said in the book of Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27 that it shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be taken off thy shoulder and the yoke of thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I pray today, whatever yoke anyone may bring into this assembly today, by the mystery of the anointing, those yokes shall be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever seems to be a burden, things that are giving you sleepless night, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the anointing in this service today, those burdens will be lifted up your shoulder in the mighty name of Jesus. And by the anointing today, begin to enjoy rest on every side in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the living Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 9 says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. Every adversaries will give way for everyone in this assembly today in the mighty name of Jesus. If you are truly been blessed in this service this morning, rise up with me and give God thanks for the sent word again today. Appreciate God for his word. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Thank you for sending us your word afresh in this service this morning. Be thou exalted forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. If you have received the word this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to put your hand on your chest and begin to ask God, that God, this morning, I thank you for your word. Lord, forgive me all my sins. I believe you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again. Today, save me and be the Lord over my life. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' mighty name. If you have said that prayer, please send your testimony of salvation to the number that is played on the board. And I pray that God will establish you in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's put hands together for Jesus as we welcome God's servant.